there real quick. Some interesting little bits of history. Some of it I covered as I'm going through that there. But the main reason the campaign was held this year was Brother Nico felt a burden to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and which was a good thing. There were some billboards up about it. There's some tourism, you know, regarding that. There is an awareness. So of any year to do this type of thing in Western Europe, this was a good year to do it. Of course, some interesting little bits of history here. John Huss, he was burnt to the stake in Konstanz, Germany. He was in Prague, had a church in Prague. And in fact, we saw it a few years ago when we were over there. And then they didn't want to deal with him, so they shipped him up to Germany. And we saw that spot there where he's burnt at the stake. It was July 7th in 1415 when his trial was. And I'm not sure if the trial was in that building that we had a meeting or where it was specifically. But during that time, ironically, there's a total solar eclipse. So imagine this guy's on trial for hearsay, according to the Roman Catholic Church, and there's a total solar eclipse for, I don't know how long it was, 20 minutes, half hour. They happen about once every 300 years. Well, that's when he went on trial, and they burnt him. Huss in Bohemian means goose. And one of the people that was burning him there, or setting the fire, he says, well, he says, now we're going to basically cook your goose. You know, and he said, well, in 100 years, there's going to rise up an eagle that you won't, or there'll rise up an eagle that you cannot reach. And almost 100 years to the day, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. So it's ironic how 100 years later that prophecy came through. So that all that history was going on in that area, the Reformation, all that sort of thing. So it was really amazing to be in that same area and handing out the gospel there. Just a few things that really struck me about the trip there, and I just jotted down some things. Because every morning, different men get up and preach, and that's a blessing. That's a good, great way to start the day out. You have breakfast and need to be down at, I think this time was 8 or 8:30 for morning devotions, which is a little earlier than normal because we had to travel across the countryside there in the next city. And so just get up in the morning, hear some preaching, and just some few, a couple of things here that kind of struck me. One, somebody mentioned, maybe you've heard these before, I don't know, but it says, God goes where faith puts him. And it's kind of a matter of, you know, us having faith. And why don't we stop right here and we'll pray for just a second. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done here and all that goes on here the rest of the evening and so far. Lord, I pray you get the glory in it, and may you open our eyes. And Lord, I forget sometimes the things that happened and all that you've done, and Lord, but I pray that you'd bring things to remembrance. Lord, help people to realize what a great God you are, and that, Lord, you died for this world, and you love us, and you want us to get your gospel out. And just pray you get the glory here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Another one somebody mentioned, it's kind of funny. It says, what we really need was fat Christians. And what the FAT is an acronym for faithful, available, and teachable. That's true. It doesn't care about how smart you are. Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? And really, you take out any one of those three there, you're kind of useless. You know, if you're available and teachable but not faithful, well, I hope he's here Sunday. Okay, great. If you're faithful and available but not teachable, and you got your own mindset about something, and this is the way it is, this way I'm going to do it, this is the way I preach on the street, and no one's going to tell me differently, that's not good. If there's no humbleness there, if you're faithful and teachable, but you're never around, right? So that's some good, something to think about, fat. You know, that's one kind of fat that's good. You know, so found something that was pleasant there as I was eating some wonderful Swiss croissants in the morning and instead of some unique New Guinea food. But faithful, available, teachable. Another one that kind of struck me was he can make you capable if you're available. And so many times and I've said it many times before, put these little barriers up in front of us and say, oh, I can't do that, or I can't do that, or, and just like Moses, nothing's changing, you know, 6,000 years, not more than 6,000 years ago, but you know what I'm saying, nothing's changing thousands of years if he can make you capable if you're available. So the other thing that kind of struck me this time is that to me, when I'm over there on the streets, I love handing the scriptures out to the people and that face-to-face interaction, that sort of thing. And mailboxes, you know, I like doing them, but I'd rather be on the street. And somebody mentioned over there, and it never struck me, is that, okay, one thing on the street when you're giving them out, they don't know what they're refusing sometimes. They just blow it off. Or their friends are around, they're not going to take it. But now they get home from work, and maybe their wife's gone, their husband's gone, just them in the house, and they get this, what is this? They might sit down and read it in the privacy of their own home. So that was kind of a blessing to me after being over there and stuffing hundreds of mailboxes. The other thing that kind of struck me is just the impact that these campaigns have. No one else really does these at all besides the Couriers of Christ of this magnitude. And, you know, what the scripture distribution campaign is. And, you know, I've talked to missionaries about it and have been here, good missionaries. They love getting the Word of God out. And I said, hey, this is what we do. You know, could you do something like this down in wherever, Brazil? Explain the whole thing to them. You know, explain to them about getting out 10, 20, 50, 100,000 scriptures and funneling people to a meeting and all the and the response is, oh yeah, brother, if you want to come down and hand out some tracts, come on down. And a lot of times missionaries, even overseas, don't get the grasp of this. And kind of to put it in perspective, you saw that meeting hall there, the meeting hall, the garage had 200 some thousand scriptures. So you take even a third of those, 75,000 scriptures. How long would it take Brother Nico or any missionary and his couple of kids to get 75,000 scriptures out? You know, a lot of times missionaries say, well, we're reaching the world for the Ukraine, or reaching all of Ukraine. No, you're not. You're trying, but you're just, I mean, how much of Coon Rapids could one family reach? Right? I mean, it's taken years as a church to go through the city of Coon Rapids alone one time, hitting a Saturday morning's visitation, right? And so they're just a great way to not only get the scriptures out there, it encourages their church people, which is a huge blessing. It gives credibility to the missionary, to the church in the area. You know, nobody even knows that that guy's church is there, right? Nobody knows. And all of a sudden, there's 30, 40 Americans on us about every street corner going up and down the streets and apartment buildings, and there's billboards here, and there's a bus sign, a bus going by here, and they're all pointing about, you know, this missionary's church. Well, of course, that has a huge impact. Speaking of how long it would take, we did some math on it because a lot of people, I didn't even know I had the thing activated on my iPhone, but how far you walk when you're over there, right? And we figured out all the Americans and some of the nationals there, we walked probably 1,300 to 1,500 miles getting scriptures out. So it'd be like if one person was to do that, you'd walk all the way down to Dallas and back up to Oklahoma City trying to get scriptures out. That would take you a little while. So just another reason why these trips are a blessing to go on. But one main thing too is that what I've always enjoyed, and I've seen it have an effect on people's lives, is that just getting away for a couple weeks and focusing on God's work. And just not having the distractions and being disconnected from just about everything else back here and just, okay, more, what do we have to do tomorrow? Okay, we got breakfast and the preaching, and we're getting in the van at 10 o'clock, and we're being in the site at 11 o'clock, we're there at 5 o'clock, you know, just getting the Word of God out, And what I've seen in my own life and other people's lives is that that can have a tremendous impact on not only your outlook for missions and that sort of thing, but God can get a hold and maybe deal with you about some things that it's a little hard to get a hold of you here on. So just some, you know, different things about the mission field over there. See if I missed anything. So, all right. Turn into tonight to Book of Ezekiel just a little bit. Go over a couple of things. It is a blessing. We've had many, many people over the years go on these trips. I don't know. Maybe 25, 30 different people from this church. Some aren't here anymore for good reasons or other. Whatever the case is, we've had a lot of people come. And I think really it's been a help in people's lives, help in mission outreach from our church and all sorts of things. But let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 2, a fairly familiar passage. And we'll just pick up here in verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "Now shall speak my words unto them, and whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house, open thy mouth, and eat what I give thee. I'm going to skip over to chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent them to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. There's a few things here before we go tonight, something to think about. As this kind of just struck me, having these two chips so close together was really, that's kind of really different. I got home and I get over there and it wasn't the plan, and they were supposed to be separated by 3 months. And then being in both places, I got reflecting on, especially when I was in Papua New Guinea there. I was over there, and, you know, there, get out of the thing I mentioned it last time, but, you know, there's a crowd of people over there, 30, 50 people over in the park, and walk over there. I said, man, we hand out some tracts. I said, hey, guys, you mind if I, you know, I'm going to tell you about my Savior? And just preach 5 or 10 minutes. They're like, let's listen. And hand out tracts. Everybody takes them. And, oh, good day, good day. Thank you, good day. And, you know, I did that at that time, and I was handing out tracts to people. No one refused them. And then the Lord struck me over there with it. It's like, why don't you have the same boldness here? It's easy to be bold over there, because walking up to them, you know they're going to all take the tracts. You know they're going to be, like, at least neutral to the preaching the gospel, if not like you preaching the gospel. They'll sit, put a loudspeaker up, 100, 150 people just plop down the dirt. Just listen. I says, why don't you do that here? Why don't we do it here? Why is it hard? You know why it's hard? It goes against his flesh. I had to push myself way harder over there to hand out the John Romans. In fact, that one guy, UE, that came to the meeting that got saved, he said, I went to give him one. I can't remember how the story went. If I already gave him, I don't know. I hadn't given him one. And he's sitting there, and he's watching me. And he watched 20 people, 25 people refuse the John Romans. And by the grace of God, is still just, you know, hobbling back and forth and trying to get him to the people. And he said out to himself, there's got to be something to this. And he went over and grabbed one. And then I got to talk to him, and he got saved. But what am I getting at with all this? Why don't we? Because it goes against the flesh. I should be just as enthusiastic, just as much zeal, going down to the University of Minnesota or wherever it is and say, hey, guys, I know you might not, you know, can I talk to you a little bit about something? Let me tell you about a Savior to die for my sins. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ did in my life. You know, it doesn't have to be, thus saith it, and that's fine. There's a place for that, but why not just go and talking to a few people, 6 or 8 people? There's all fine with loud street preaching. That's all great. But what about that and just talking to some people, some young kids sitting outside the holiday station? Hey, guys, how's it going? What are you doing? Because it goes against a stupid flesh. If you knew, they'd be, oh, wow, that is so interesting. Wow, what church do you go to? Do you got, what time service? Can I be there at 11 o'clock? Well, of course you go talk to them, right? But look what the Bible says here. It says that you speak my words unto them. And I'm preaching on myself. Because I can talk to people fairly easily, make small talk with them. You know, maybe some of you are really big into sports or this or that or cars or knives or Tupperware or whatever it is. Kids, you name it, whatever you like talking about, making small talk at the grocery store, just exchange pleasantries, being nice to them, all that sort of thing. What does it say there in verse 4? Speak my words unto them. Why is it hard for me? Why is it hard for you, I'm sure, to speak God's words unto them? You know, it's not about, I'm not saying don't go on a mission trip. I hope you do. It's great. You never regret it. I've never had somebody come back and say, oh, that's so stupid. Why'd I go? Plane lands in 15 minutes. I can't wait to get back and get back to work. I never want to go on one of those again. It was a waste of time, waste of money. I'm going to write Brother Don and say, this thing's stupid. Nobody's ever done anything remotely close to that. They've all, most of them, half those people on that last trip have been on other trips before. You know, I always look at the list and, yep, no, you know, a lot of people went. But Where are we here? Even if you go on a mission trip every year, where are you and I for 340 some days a year? Right here. He didn't send us to people of a strange speech and a hard language, verse 5, but to the house of Israel, to the people in our cities, the people in our communities. And why is it hard for us to speak my words onto them? You know, we can come up with, so I'm really shy. I'm really, really shy, and I'd rather just sit in a corner, and I'd rather just not say anything. You think God doesn't know that? You think if you got down on your knees, and I got down on my knees and says, Lord, I really have a problem approaching people, that he would say, good luck with that one. Of course not. He's going to help you. You know, what he wants is just for us to ask him for help. God, Lord, I don't even know what to say. You know, what did Paul the Apostle do when he's in front of all the kings and rulers in four different times in the book of Acts? He gave his testimony. A biblical genius. There's not a person walking the face of the earth at that time that knew more Bible than Paul the Apostle. He goes up and he tells them what Jesus Christ did for him. He says, hey, King Agrippa, hey, Festus, I was enrolled to Damascus one time. This light shined from heaven. He gives him his testimony. Because you know why? Nobody can argue with it. And you don't have to be a biblical genius. I'm not saying not study your Bible, but hey, you all have a testimony from the youngest to the oldest of what Jesus Christ did in your life. Maybe you're 10 years old and you say, well, I never known anything but except being a Christian, but I'm sure glad my mom and dad got saved. You can tell some kid that. That's a testimony, right? But my words, speak my words unto them. Because for most of us, except for a mission trip once in a while, he has not sent us to a people of a strange speech or a hard language, but to the house of Israel, but to our own people, not to as many people of a strange speech or a hard language. Verse 6, whose words thou canst not understand, surely had I sent them to thee, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hear unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And what I was getting at was verse 7 there, he says, they're not going to hearken unto you because they don't want to hearken unto me. So when you go and you present the gospel and they get all cranky, they're not getting cranky really at you, because you could be talking to them about whatever, not saying the national anthem in a football game or something, they'd be all fine. But you bring up Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they're offended. They're offended at him. They're not offended at you. And so, you know, just some things to think about. I got to think about things a little bit here this afternoon. And I thought, you know, I know we give out a lot of tracts, and that's a blessing. I know the Dietz were down at the state fair, many other ones, let's just leave it there. There's a lot. There's quite a few people that went down the state fair quite a bit, okay? Let's just say that. All right. English is a hard language. I do have a place for the hard language here. When we might give out 30,000 to 50,000 tracts a year as a church, and that's a blessing. But what if each one of us in this room on a Sunday morning, let's up the quantity a little bit here, gave out 5 tracts a day? They don't have to be an 8-minute dissertation of the gospel to every person give them to. I mean, just give out 5 tracts a day. My dad was funny. He used to go in the bathrooms and leave them. That's great, fine, you know. But what I like doing, I like putting one on the counter. I put one underneath the extra roll of toilet paper. I put one in those little changing tables there, you know. So they'll find that one immediately. They'll find that one a couple hours later. Find a changing table. Who knows when in a guy's bathroom? But you know, they're a little spread out there, right? 5 tracks a day for 80, 90 people. That's 100,000. And if you don't do it on the weekend because you got church and stuff, whatever. No, 5 days a week, 5 tracks a day. It's 100,000 tracts. 100,000 tracts. In addition to the other 50,000 give out. Now, we're not a big, you know, rah-rah, put the thermometer up in a wall, you know, get the pom-poms out type church. What's up to you? It's up to you as an individual. You know, when you take a challenge like that, maybe that's not the challenge. Maybe what is God challenging you about in your life? What is it? You know, when you get good preaching all the time and different things, and what is the challenge, I'll leave you with this tonight, that God is working with you on? What has it been as we head into revival in 3 weeks? What has it been that maybe revival after revival, maybe certain messages after certain messages, maybe these slide presentations once in a while, that God has pricked your heart and pricked your heart. Maybe it's gotten to the point where it's just kind of like, you know, if I was trying to take a screw and put it in this pulpit by hand with no nice DeWalt cordless drill, you know, just trying to sit there with not even a screwdriver, and it's just not getting in. Because your heart's like that. What is it? Maybe something to think about and pray about the next couple, 3 weeks before revival. Is God, what is it? What is it in my heart that maybe has gotten calloused? Would you show me? Would you help me to be honest with myself? And maybe you need to do is just like a, you know, hardened sponge or something. It gets real hard and crusty, like a, it just, you know, like water affects it and it gets nice and soft and pliable. And that's what we need to do to our heart, is tenderize our heart in preparation of this revival meeting coming up. Or who says it has to be a revival meeting? What if you did it 2 weeks early? That'd be great, huh? You know, you go into revival, all charged up. So anyway, just a few things to leave you tonight, some things to think about. And I said some things that the Lord really dealt with me about that was the, you know, oh, okay, you know, you can go there and preach, and it's easy for you, and you can boldly go up to anybody in the world over in PNG, give out tracts. What about back here? This is where we live, right? And so, you know, we can just, each of us, individual basis, what does God want out of us in our life in the future? So let's pray.